It's indeed a pleasure to have the editor of National Speed Sport News joining us on Inside Motorsport, Chris Economaki. Welcome to the show here in Australia. And you've had an interesting couple of weeks with Formula One, sprint cars, NASCAR, champ cars are heading down our way very soon. And it must really be a year which motorsport has really come to the fore in the United States and been one of the halcyon years for, I would think, a lot of people.
Well, that's right. Automobile racing, as we call it in the United States, has gained a lot of popularity in recent years, and it's now the number two spectator sport in the United States behind the National Football League. It's ahead of tennis, ahead of golf, ahead of baseball, and that's quite a step forward for American auto racing.
The diversity, though, is the amazing thing to someone coming from Australia. 20 million people doesn't support a lot of high-quality motorsport, but every city we've gone to supports an A-grade track of one division of another, and it draws huge crowds. 10,000 people would be a minimum crowd at a championship event in most places, and you'd normally get 1,000 people just for a local track.
Well, that's true. It's, as I say, it's very popular, and you mentioned diversity earlier. There are many, many different types of cars. Like here at the Lowe's Motor Speedway dirt track, there's sprint cars with wings, and then in between are the small duplicates of former racing cars called the Legends cars. And across the street, a quarter of a mile away, tomorrow there'll be late model sportsman cars. They're called the Busch Grand National Series, and then in a day after that, the Winston Cup cars. So fans that are here this weekend have an opportunity to see Winston Cup cars, Busch Grand National cars, the ARCA cars last Wednesday, and the sprint cars and the Legends cars. And if they want to go 5 or 6 miles to the Concord Motor Speedway tomorrow night, they can see a different type of racing stock car.
How much has motor racing changed over your years at the helm of National Speedsport News?
Oh, remarkable changes. Indescribable changes. First of all, the multiplicity of classes. Years ago, there were racing cars in the beginning, a single-seat pointed-tail car with open wheels. And then the midget came along. And, of course, that was the biggest positive happening in American automobile racing, was the advent of the midget racing car. And the reason for that was that until it came along in 1934, all races were on big tracks. Out of town and at fairgrounds, you had to make plans to spend a day at the races. And when the midget came into being, every baseball stadium and high school track and so forth had the potential to becoming an auto speedway, and thousands did. And a man could come home from work on a Friday night, have dinner with his family, and go downtown and see the midget races and come home at a decent hour. And what the midget did was bring racing to the public. The public didn't have to go to the races. And that created thousands and thousands of fans in this country that and their children and the children's children still follow the sport.
What would you think would have been the next big step? Would lighting the tracks, or where was the next big leap, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. What America wants, unlike the Formula One series, they want passing, they want competition. They want to, racing is passing, not following. And in this country, spirited competition will sell the sport. Image, of course, is important, but the actual competition where driver A races driver B and passes him, and then driver B repasses him, that's what keeps the people buying tickets and coming back. And it doesn't matter what kind of car they're in.
But it has to be on an oval.
Yes, because road courses, the problem with road racing is now that road racing is professional and money is paid, big money, it's changed. And the reason that is when road racing began in this country years ago, it was an amateur sport. It was very inexpensive to put on. People would come and buy a low-price ticket and walk around a big area. And they'd walk to turn one and watch for a while, and then they'd walk a quarter mile or half a mile over to another turn, which is of a different character, and watch there for a while. Then they'd walk someplace else. And their car was there, and their picnic lunch and their beer was in the tailgate. They'd meet friends, and that was all fine. And then when road racing became professional, and the promoters had to pay prize money, they realized that they couldn't charge these people a lot of money to walk around. So they forced them into grandstands where they could get a lot of money for a seat. And then you're in the grandstand, all you see is a car whiz by and then disappear. And the appeal of road racing diminished. So that's why road racing is not popular in this country anymore. It was more popular when you could walk around, but you can't do that because it wasn't the financial benefits of the promoter won't support the event. So they make the people sit down in expensive seats, and all they see is the car whiz by and go away.
It seems, though, that road racing over the last 3 years probably has made a resurgence, not in IMSA or SCCA, but in historic racing. People going out and seeing those cars again has really taken off.
Vintage racing. But you see, that's been a regression to the old way. There is no prize money in vintage races, so they don't force the people into the grandstands. And they walk around and enjoy themselves.
You've enjoyed yourself a number of times in Australia. You've seen our big race, the 1,000-kilometer race at Bathurst.
Many times I've been. I was the announcer for the 7 Network many years ago on that event. A wonderful event. And I've been to the Grand Prix in Adelaide, and I've been to the Calder Motordrome in Melbourne. I've had a lot of visits to your lovely country.
What have you seen over the years going on there that you might be able to attain from just diving in and seeing what happens? Because you've seen probably the major events, certainly.
I saw some midget events on little tracks. The thing that amazed me the most is the cars go the other way. It's hard for an American to see cars turning right on an oval. And some of your stock car races I saw in Adelaide were like that, yeah.
Do you think with the Formula One race 2 weeks ago, whilst it was an absolute disaster for the media here, who certainly all of a sudden found out, you know, what it's like not to be treated well.
Yeah, that's true.
But the crowd in the hill got to see a better race than what they'd see in Europe, or certainly even better than the Melbourne race.
Well, the race, you have to understand that if you're a Formula One fan, to be able to see up close Michael Schumacher passed Mika Häkkinen for the lead, which they saw, is enough to satisfy somebody. Now, that would satisfy a Formula One fan, but it wouldn't satisfy an IndyCar fan or a stock company, because they want more. They demand and insist upon more.
Yeah. Did you think Indy was a success?
Commercial success, yes. Artistic success, no.
Because for someone who does watch a lot of Grand Prix racing, an outside pass, and we saw about 4 outside passes, is unheard of in the F1.
That's right. Yeah. So it's a matter of taste on the part of the paying customer. You know, the paying customer wants passing, and the Formula One customer wants style and panache and the class and form, not necessarily passing.
Do you think that perhaps Indy's going to be successful, not nationally, but internationally, in F1?
Well, I don't know how many Europeans and Asians and Australians were at Formula One race. They said if they thought it was about 25,000, which would be a little over 10% of the audience, came from overseas. I have a belief that there are certain people in our country who want to go to the Masters golf tournament at least once. They want to go to the World Series baseball game at least once. They want to go to the Super Bowl football game at least once. And they want to see a Formula One race at least once. So I don't think the crowd for the Indianapolis Formula One race next year will be as big as it was this year. I think the race will continue to go. But because unless there's all of a sudden an epidemic of passing. And if there's an epidemic of passing, then you get the people back, yeah.
National Speedsport News has been the Bible of motorsport in this country now for more years than probably I've been alive.
Well, that's right. The first issue in its present form was in August of 1934. I sold that issue as a newsboy. So I've been riding with it ever since it began, yeah.
How have you seen the changes in how it's been going?
Well, we changed a lot. For example, the advent of television and the internet and so forth. People used to buy National Speed Sport News years ago to find out who won. Now they know Sunday night who won with radio and television and everything, and we have to give them more. So what we've done now is to reduce the length of our race reports, you know, from the start to the green flag to the checkered flag, and gone more with the sideline stuff about what happens in the pits, what's going on in the driver and his family's off hours, things that you can't get on television and on the on the internet.
And I guess from the position of National Speed Sport News, that was information you probably already had, but wasn't used.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't. Another thing that's of interest today, because there's so much money involved, is the business of auto racing. The television rights fees, and how much people pay for sponsorship and things of that nature. And we try to get as much of that in between the covers of our newspaper as possible.
Still, I would imagine that it's a great love going to the races and reporting. But to cover a country like the United States, how many journalists or staff, writers do you have, and then how many freelancers do you have to get into the issue?
Oh, we have hundreds. I don't read the actual number, but it's a great number. In the summertime, at the height of our season, we have over 300 stories in every issue. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, a lot of work. Yeah.
And how many of those do you get to enjoy?
How many what?
How many of those races do you get to enjoy over a season?
Oh well, I enjoy every race I go to, but I don't get to that many. I'm getting older now, and I'm slowing down, but I enjoy all forms of racing. I don't have a specific form that I want to go to, and to the total exclusion of all others. Yeah.
And the onset of dirt tracks like Bruton Smith's been bringing to us now, you've got Las Vegas here, Bristol being turned into a dirt track. How much do you think that's benefiting this style of racing, the sprint cars, and of course the USAC scene and all that?
Well, I think what this track here and the sister track in Fort Worth, Texas, and another one in Las Vegas does is expose this form of racing, open wheel sprint car racing, to the stock car fan who had not seen it before. And they might become a converter, you know. It'd be a new and different religion for them. Yeah.
And they certainly follow it like that over here.
Right, yeah.
Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure to meet you and to it's been a pleasure to meet you and to get a few words from you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Come by and see us. Thank you.
Thank you.